Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, January 17th. As we go through the dog days of the NHL, I am Brad Brood, the host of the show, joined alongside my co-host Blake Friars for another hour of hockey talk. And Blake, let's start it off talking NFL football.
Yep.
Are these playoffs are not off to the start that the NFL wanted, are they?
It depends what you like. I mean,
nobody likes blowouts, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
I agree.
Like the Bills, it's kind of like a passing of the torch from the Patriots to the Bills. They're going to start owning that division. And
I thought that would be more competitive of a game, though.
Yeah, I mean, nobody thought that the Bills were going to have 7 drives and 7 touchdowns, though. I mean, like, they played a perfect game of football, and I've never seen Josh Allen play like that before. I mean, he kicked it to another level, and the Patriots defense had no answer for him. And then the Cowboys game was all right yesterday, and I mean,
score was closer than the game.
There was a lot of penalties. I can't believe they took 8 pre-snap penalties. The Cowboys, it's like, my God, like they're just behind the 8-ball the whole game, it seemed like. And a little bit of a controversy at the end there. And
was it really, though? Let me ask you this.
The refs got to be in better position, though. Like,
Blake, why are you running a run play up the middle?
Yeah, obviously, they're playing sideline defense. They're pretty much daring you to run. I mean,
but then you play by the sword, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
that referee wasn't walking. He was running.
He was also 15 yards out of position, though.
So have a better timeout plan and don't run up the middle.
The ref should not be 15 yards behind the play when there's 5 seconds.
Why are you plugging this on the refs? This is poor play management. Poor play management.
Oh, it's terrible play management, but I mean...
So then the Dallas needs to take accountability for that instead of...
No, I understand that, but they got to the line with 4 seconds left, and you should be able to clock the ball with 4 seconds left. I don't know what the ref was doing. He got in the way twice when the Cowboys tried to hunt the ball. And the first time it cost him a delayed game penalty, and the second time, like, why does the ref need to touch the ball before it gets down? Like, I don't understand that
rule.
Because
teams will spot the ball 4 yards ahead of where it would go.
Like, it's...
They would.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone's like, oh, Dak should have gave the ball to the ref. He's 15 yards behind, though. I can send you a picture. And he is literally sprinting. There's like 4 seconds left, and this guy
can't be in the play, Blake.
It's embarrassing.
He can't be in the play. That's their job.
I know, but they should have somebody on the sideline just to reset the ball.
Because so he's going to run from the four. He's going to run 40 yards in from the sideline.
What's the difference? The guy fucking 40 yards. No.
Well, I believe the field's 30 yards. I believe the field's 60 yards wide.
But, like, still, like...
Or 60 or even 80 yards wide.
It was a good game.
No, it's not 80. What am I talking about? 60 yards.
Those bastards costing me $160.
That's poor play calling.
I had the Bucks, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys to win. Put $50 on them. Fuckers. Yeah,
tonight's game was I thought tonight would be close, but it's not.
Yeah, 21-0. Fuck. Brutal.
I watched a little golf this week. They were in Hawaii for their tournament, and that got me the itch, man. It got me the itch.
Yeah, you see that guy's shot on that par 5?
Uh-uh. I didn't look like...
He was like 2-something out, shot a 5-wood, and put it within like 4 feet.
Really?
And I was like, It was a long shot. Like it was pretty crazy.
I like watching golf. I do.
Yeah, it's good to watch on like a Sunday, Saturday when you got nothing going on.
If it's shitty outside or something and you got nothing going, it's kind of...
I might have to get the golf club shipped down here. We might be golfing by March.
We got
like, this weather's not...
We got like 30 inches of snow.
Now it's all gone.
Well, we're piled high with snow, man. We got
like all of our snow is gone. And like I'm just like, if this weather keeps up, I might be swinging the sticks. I haven't golfed in a couple of years because my foot surgery. So it'd be interesting to see like where I'm at.
Well, now you got a built-in excuse, dude.
Well, I mean, I can't really golf if I'm on fucking bed rest for 9 weeks.
Well, that's what I mean. So now it's like you're going to be rusty. So that's good. Because you know what? So. A person always plays better when they got a built-in excuse. Because I'm always really good.
I mean, I'm just that's not an excuse. It's a fact. I haven't played in 2 years. It's a fact.
I'm really good like the first two outings of the year usually. Because I have no pressure on myself to be good. It's just, if I suck, I suck because I've been cooped up in the winter, right?
Yep.
Just seems like that's usually the way it goes, you know? I don't know.
Did you watch the unbelievable two back-to-back games today?
No, because
What a treat. What a treat. Buffalo and Detroit and Arizona and Montreal. Oh, my God, it was great.
Yeah, no, it was my daughter's seventh birthday, so we've been spending some time with her.
Oh, yeah, a little more important, I guess.
A little more important. A lot more fun than those shitty teams playing hockey, right?
Hey, they're battling for Shane Wright. Leave him alone.
We're going to talk about that later in the show. On today's show, we're going to talk about UFAs. It's too early to talk about them, but we're going to do it anyways because there's nothing else to talk about. We'll talk about some trade possibilities, the All-Star game. Who cares about that? We'll go around the league and talk Stahl, Bowen Byram, Kane, Canucks playoff hopes. And are teams trying to suck this year or is it just me? All right, Blake.
You messed with me about the Canucks playoff hopes. You're messing with me, right?
No, because I think you... I don't know. I want to know what you think.
Okay.
Why, is that not a legitimate question?
Well, I thought you were just, like, messing with me.
No, you made me put him in the show last week, so I thought after you had your Florida reality check, let's touch base this week, man. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
I guess.
It's a freaking gauntlet. It's a gauntlet, man. That's a bitch ass of a road trip.
Yeah, Calgary got swept. So do we.
Yeah. It's not an easy road. But what the problem is in Vancouver is there's just, I hate to say it, like we're only like 30 games in, but it's like running out of real estate already.
What are you talking about? We're literally 3 points out of a playoff spot.
I know. But the end result, like, I don't know. And same with, same when I look
at... Hey, if they win tomorrow in Nashville, they salvage the whole trip. Because you lose the first three.
If you go 500, I'm good with that.
You lose the first three, and you win the next two. I mean, you go 2-3. You go 2-3 on a trip where you lost to Florida, lost to Tampa, lost to Carolina. I think you'll take that 9-10 times out of 10.
I couldn't agree more. It's just where they put themselves going into it. It makes it harder.
Well, yeah. They
you know. But yes, I agree.
Out of a hole, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, we're going to talk some UFAs, okay? And I got to pick your brain and get your opinion on some of these because this season seems like it's freaking never ending. We're only like 30, 40 games in, and it seems like we should be at the 60-game mark, does it not? To me, it does. To me, it just seems like it's just poking along this year. Probably because your teams are playing like two games a week. You know? It's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, it should definitely be above 40.
I know, but we're not. We're only at, that's the problem, you know? So it's just kind of... I don't know.
What are we at here? 30. Everybody's got like
34?
35 to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not terrible.
Next week we're going to talk a little mid-year, you know, mid-year next week we're going to talk about that on the show. But I don't know. It just seems like The COVID shutdown thing kind of clogged it up a little bit, I think. But anyways, let's talk about some UFAs. And I'm just looking at some of the major ones, and I'll name off the guy. You tell me what happens, and what happens if he goes somewhere, if he doesn't go anywhere, re-signs. What do you think? Let's start with Brian Rust, Pittsburgh Penguins.
I think Brian Rust walks as a UFA.
You think Pittsburgh just holds on to him and lets him walk, huh?
Yep.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Because
he's too important to a cup run, a potential cup run, I guess. Their top priorities are in the summer are going to be Malkin and Letang. And I don't think those two are going to go anywhere. I mean, they're probably on your list there. But, yeah, I think Malkin's going to take a pay cut. He already said that he's got a lot of money and money's really not important to him. So I can see him taking a pay cut, maybe getting like going from 9.5 maybe down to 7, somewhere in that range.
Okay, and he was my next on my list. And I could see him, and I agree with you completely. I think he re-signs in Pittsburgh. But I'm thinking he'll even sign for 5.
Yeah. I mean, just based off his comments he doesn't really care about money. He's got lots of money. I think his exact quote was, "I'm a pretty rich guy," if I'm not mistaken. So
good for him.
Right? Yeah, that's a guy that's got a lot of money, and
hopefully sure he's
Pittsburgh a favor and take a pay cut.
Invested it well, hopefully. Yeah. I know he seems like a fairly responsible player. Well, let's talk about Letang. We'll add him to the list. I don't think he re-signs in Pittsburgh.
Really? Yeah, it would just be hard to imagine him being in another uniform.
Let me ask you this question. I have no sources or nothing. I just feel like he's going to want more than Pittsburgh is going to be able to afford him. It would be hard to see him somewhere else, but I just feel like he's going to. And I don't know where, and I don't even know how or how much. I just, my gut tells me he's going to go somewhere. But it would be weird seeing him in another uniform, like you said. But is there a lot of teams that really would line up for Letang? Or is it just me that thinks he's overrated?
You think he's overrated?
I do. I don't know why. I don't really have any
when he was in the prime of his career, he battled injuries a lot. That kind of derailed him. And, I still think that he's a serviceable defenseman. He's about to be on the wrong side of 30. I think he's 34. That'll be definitely something to keep an eye on. Like that, I think Letang will be kind of what they do with him will kind of be the direction that Pittsburgh goes in. Like, I think that's like the domino that needs to fall. Because I don't think that, like I said, I don't think Geno's going anywhere. So, Pittsburgh wants to give Crosby and Malkin one more run, and I think signing Letang would be important.
Oh, this is a big one here. Jack Campbell in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he's playing, is he priced himself out of Toronto? Like, I don't know.
For sure, don't you think? How can they afford it? Because he could ask for $6 million, $7 million, couldn't he?
If he asked for $6 million, that means that, like, you got to trade a Marner to afford him. Or a Nylander or something.
And what's more important?
Like, obviously, goaltending is important. He's been a rock for them the last year and a half, 2 years. I mean, obviously, you want your players to have success and all. But it's if I'm Kyle Dubas right now, I'm kind of saying, like, shit. Like, this guy's playing at a Vezina caliber right now.
Which is what you need. Which is what they need.
We're going to have to pay him. Like, it's like they're going to have no choice. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, they made the bet, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Right now he's on a team-friendly deal, $1.6 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. And kind of given the Leafs some flexibility, but, I mean, like, he's played well the last 2 years. And I mean, he's kind of in his first season as a starting goalie. This year, I think this is like the first true year that Campbell's got a chance to be the guy, and he's thrived. And he's going to be getting paid, whether it's from the Leafs or somebody else.
Oh, and I think Mankiewicz, there's going to be a lot of teams lined up for him, right?
Oh, yeah. It would be a major mistake if Toronto let him get to UFA. Like, I honestly would sign him to an extension tomorrow.
I know, but let's put your Jack Campbell shoes on.
Yeah.
What are you doing? They need you more than you need them.
Yeah, like Jack Campbell has a lot of leverage in this situation because, I mean, he's a UFA, he's earned that right. I mean, he's put in his time and, it'll be interesting. I'm just going to pull up the Leafs, cap situation here quickly. So next year they have Mikheyev coming off the books, 1.6. And then everybody else is like locked in.
I know.
Kase and Pierre Engvall are RFAs, so that's 2.5. So 2.5, 1.6, that's $4 million.
But you got to put somebody in those roster spots, at least in a million.
Jack Campbell's 1.6, so that's $6 million. So I mean, technically, you could afford him, but then you'd be relying on some kids to come up and fill holes.
But you still need $1 million for each of those kids. Or $780,000 for each of those kids.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough. Like, they're going to have to make a trade.
They're going to have to move a big name.
So you're looking at the easiest contract to trade for Toronto is William Nylander. Two more years after this at 6.9.
Would you be happy if your team took that contract, though?
What's that?
Would you be happy if your favorite team took on Nylander?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a lot of money, though.
Nylander's been great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nylander's been – you know, when he first signed that contract, I was like, man, that's overrated. He's like, overpaid and whatnot. But he's outperformed that contract. I mean, there's games where I watch the Leafs, and I'm thinking, like, with a team with Matthews and Marner and Tavares, I'm like, Nylander's been the best player on the ice. I mean,
he's better than Marner.
He takes over shifts.
Do you not think he's better than Marner?
He's a dominant player. I mean, they're two different players, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
Marner's a lot more skilled than Nylander, but I mean, Nylander's a lot more physical. He's more gritty and gets in the corners and stuff. But yeah, Toronto's got a couple of big decisions to make, and one of those decisions was made, and which was extending Morgan Riley. I mean, that extending Morgan Riley might ultimately cost them Jack Campbell.
I know. But they needed to do that, though.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
They needed defense, though, so they were stuck in a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I know. They're kind of handcuffed. I don't know.
You know, I don't know. Here's another one, and I think this is a no-brainer. Patrice Bergeron. I don't know how he doesn't re-sign in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to the same example I used for Malkin. I mean, I don't think money really means anything to him. I can see him signing for $5 million.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere.
No, me either. Two very interesting, actually three in a row that are very interesting. John Klingberg.
John Klingberg is going to be, he's one of my questions. So, okay.
So you want to shelf this?
We'll get to that in a little bit, but I think he is going to get traded. He's a guy that's a right-hand shot, big, physical, mean defenseman, and he's got some offensive upside, so I think a lot of teams will be lining up.
So you mean he'll get traded to be a rental then?
Yeah, I mean.
And then hit the market?
I think a lot of, I mean, it depends. I mean, do you work out a sign and trade? Do you work out a trade him as a rental and see how it goes in that place he goes to? I'm not sure. Like I'm a Canucks fan. I would trade Brock Besser for John Klingberg tomorrow. As long as there's an extension.
Well, sure, but I don't. But what if there's no extension, though? Because you can't just.
Yeah, if there's no extension, I'm not doing it. I mean, it's got to be a sign and trade, like something like that. I think, like, that's the type of player that the Canucks have been missing.
I thought you had just signed Oliver Ekman Larson.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about on the right side. Like, the right side. The left side's been okay. I mean, it's the right side that they need help on. I think they're going to have to trade one of their forwards coming up, but we'll get to the Canucks talk in a bit here. But, yeah, I think Klingberg is going to be traded, and we'll see what happens.
How about Philip Forsberg?
Yeah, that's another guy that's a very interesting case. I mean,
but how can Nashville trade him when Nashville is going to make the playoffs. Well, I mean, barring a collapse here.
Yeah, they paid Roman Josi, and you know, if you're Philip Forsberg, you look at, okay, they paid Ryan Johansson this big contract. They gave Matthew Duchene this big contract. Like, okay, this is what I want. If you want to keep me, this is what you're going to give me. I mean, he kind of holds all the cards. I mean, David Poile's kind of in a tough spot, like you mentioned, that like Nashville's, I mean, I think they're the best team in the Western Conference right now, if I'm not mistaken, no?
I think they are, actually. I do. I think they are.
Yeah, they have they're the second best team. They have 51 points. If they beat St. Louis, they'll be tied for the best record in the Western Conference. So, it's hard to say, like, what kind of message would that send to fans, season ticket holders, if you trade one of your best players at the trade deadline because you don't know if you're going to be able to resign them? Like, I think that would be idiotic. And I think that they got to pony up and sign this guy because he's a really gifted forward.
For sure he is. And I think he's going to get re-signed. I don't see him going anywhere.
Well, okay, let's play the same game we play with the Leafs. Let's go see what their
But I believe Nashville is in better shape.
They got 2.3, 1.5, 2 million, 1 million, plus where is Forsberg? Oh, he's hurt right now.
Yeah.
And plus Forsberg, 6 million. Yeah, they'll have more than enough to get him signed.
Yeah.
I think, let's see here. They have $25 million cap space to re-sign him. So, yeah, they'll get that figured out, I'm sure.
Nazem Kadri in Colorado.
Is he a UFA?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay, I'm going back to the Leafs. They have $8.7 million in cap space, and they need to sign a goalie, 3 forwards, and a D. So
not happening.
That's not happening. Nazem Kadri, I mean, this is what a time to have a breakout season. I mean, he's on pace to shatter career high in goals, career high in points. Somehow didn't make the All-Star game. Oh, what a joke that is.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, Nazem Kadri's definitely priced himself out of Colorado, I think. I think he'll be on another team next year. That team, I don't know. But he's a great shutdown guy. He has the ability to play in the top six, and we'll see it happen.
Do you think he'll have to take a little less money just because of his reputation?
You mean like getting suspended in the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had the cleanest career, and I'm not ripping his career. I'm just saying, like, will he have to take a little bit of a discount than a prototypical player that's been problem?
Marchand didn't have to.
Yeah, but Marchand's been pigeonholed in Boston. It's different.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, he's still got 7.
Yeah, but Bergeron knows how to do it and not get suspended.
You mean Marchand?
Marchand. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't think he'll be re-signed in Colorado because they got to re-sign Kemper.
True.
So I mean, that's a goalie's more important than a second-line center, that's for sure.
This is the one I'm most interested in hearing what your thoughts are. So I think this is one of the players that a lot of teams are probably got their radar up for here to see what happens over the next 30 days, and that's Thomas.
Andre Fleury?
No, Thomas Hertl.
Yeah, that's San Jose's kind of on the edge of a playoff spot right now. Yeah, Thomas Hertl, I think he'll get moved to the deadline, and that's him and Klingberg are probably going to be number one and two of items to get. Maybe you throw Marc-Andre Fleury into that conversation, but yeah, Hertl is he's been a big part of San Jose, and he will definitely get moved. I mean, it makes no sense for San Jose not to move him because you're going to get a lot from him at the trade deadline.
What do you think you get for him?
First round pick and a top prospect, probably.
I think so too, and he's going to be a rental that brings you that.
He's a rental, but I mean, if you're going for it, I mean, look at Tampa Bay. They traded a first round pick for Coleman and a first round pick for Barclay Gaudreau, two impact forwards in their bottom six that helped them win two Stanley Cups. So,
yeah.
If you got a chance to bring in a Thomas Hertl, it's a no brainer.
Where is he a fit at?
I don't know. Like, it depends what route the Sharks go down. If they want to, like, retain money on him to get more back, I think that's a possibility. I don't know. Like, is, dare I say, Colorado, do they have room?
No.
Do they have room? Let's see. If Hurdle got half retained.
They aren't going to retain half.
Oh, I think they might think about it. He's got 1 year left.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't retain. Let me see. What is his salary? I think it's like 7.
Oh, I got it right here.
Salary, it's like 7 mil.
No, 5.625.
Yeah, you're okay. Yeah, they're definitely retaining half. So Colorado can't fit $2 million in. Okay, let's see.
But what are they going to have to give up for that? If I'm a GM and I'm retaining half the salary, I want another first round pick.
They will trade him JT Comper, a first round pick, and Tyson Jost. I think it's pretty fair for both teams. I mean, you get a 26-year-old center for 3.5 who has 1 year left, one more additional year on his contract, and then you get a first-round pick and a guy that went high in the draft a few years ago. I think that could be something that works out. I mean, $2 million is not that much for a guy like Thomas Hurdle. I mean, and I would even give up more than the package I just mentioned to get him at half retained.
Yeah.
Like, it's the fact that he's only making 5 is I thought he's making a little more than that. Like, that's a no-brainer.
I'm interested to see what happens there. I know Calgary is really interested.
What's Calgary going to give up?
First-round pick.
Okay, so how much cap space does Calgary have? Calgary has $1.5 million.
Well, they won't be able to re-sign him next year. It'll be a pure rental.
Is Calgary a cup contender?
I don't think so.
Like, I don't think Calgary's in the market for like, if.
But they almost
Calgary
have to.
Does,
they
if Calgary have... does that, and they flame out in the first round, and they give up a shit ton for Hurdle, I mean, traveling, I don't think he'll get out of there alive.
Well, I know, but we're not going to be able to re-sign all our guys next year anyway, so we're going to be a worse team next year.
What about this? Would you rather have Johnny Gaudreau or Thomas Hurdle?
That's what I'm thinking. I'd rather have Hurdle.
You would, huh?
Yeah, I would.
So maybe you do that. Maybe you get him in here.
Because I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is signing in Calgary next year.
Yeah, for sure. So you get that kind of as a plan B.
Yeah.
If Johnny doesn't re-sign, we got Thomas Hurdle. I mean, yeah, if that's the case, then sure.
I mean, I don't know that for a fact that Johnny is not signing. I don't think Johnny's signing in Calgary unless they go on some crazy ass road.
Yeah, so I mean, it would be like Dylan Dubé, a first round pick, and another prospect, something along.
I don't even think you would. Calgary. If you gave Dylan Dubé up and a first round pick, you got him.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like, I mean, I know you're not the biggest Dubé guy, but I mean, in terms of money, I mean, he would definitely be in the deal, and he's still young. He's 23.
Yeah. Speaking of Johnny Gaudreau, let's talk him next.
Yeah.
His projections are that he's going to get $9 million next year from somebody. And I think that's batshit crazy. He's not getting that in Calgary.
No.
And nor should he get that in Calgary.
So he's making, what, 6.75 right now?
Yep.
I think he'll get $7.5 million.
Doesn't it depend on how he does in the postseason, though?
Yeah.
What if he's a 3 year in a row offer?
3 year in a row.
Over. Well, they weren't in the playoffs last year, but the year before he was junk. The year before that he was junk.
Yeah, he had 7 points in 10 games.
Two of them were empty netters.
Brad, he's got 20 points in 30 games in the playoffs.
Have you watched him in the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. He's
a non-factor. He's a non-factor.
But I mean, he's still producing.
He's not producing. Do you want him on your team?
Listen, I'm not saying 20 points. No, I wouldn't give him that.
But somebody's going to give him that. Somebody's going to do that. And I think the team that does it is Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, it's home state. They might be. Do they really want to handcuff themselves to another terrible contract?
Well, they're going to move Giroux this year, and that frees up space.
Who's taking Giroux?
Someone's going to take Giroux as a UFA on a hell of a discount, and it could be the Calgary Flames.
Oh, he's a UFA.
Yeah.
Okay, that changes my perspective. I thought he had one more year left at 8 mil.
No.
Yeah, they'll definitely retain salary on that.
Right? I mean, they'll get a haul for that.
And they're paying Kevin Hayes $7 million for the next 5 years. My God.
Oh, that's Louis Erickson.
One more year left of JVR at 7. Oof, Hackenston at 5.8. Connecting at 5.5 isn't too bad. Provorov, 6.7. That's a hell of a contract. And then they're only paying Carter Hart $4 million right now. So
what do you think happens to Marc-Andre Fleury?
Oh, and they just extended Couturier to 7.75.
I know.
God. Fuck. Like, and they extended Fairby to 5. Oh my God. I don't know. The Flyers have lost 8 in a row. I mean, a team that just looks in shambles right now, and they just got bad contract after bad contract after bad contract.
What happens to Marc-Andre Fleury?
I'm sure Ken Holland's on the phone right now.
I know he is.
I'm sure he's on the phone. What can you do to get Marc-Andre Fleury here? Because that team needs a goalie more than anybody. I mean, it's...
Oh, God.
Holy fuck. I mean, is Edmonton on the list to talk about? Like, no, God.
That is a train wreck. It's pathetic.
Is there like a step above a train wreck? Because that's where the Oilers are. That's the stage that they're in. I mean, George Skinner just got placed on protocol. Smith's hurt. So you got to run with Koskinen and this Russian goal I've never even heard of. So it's fucking panic. The panic button has been hit.
And you know what? And everybody in Edmonton says, you know, well, God, is Connor McDavid going to ask out? Well, good God.
Stranger shit's happened.
That'll never happen, though. Because if I was the owner and he asked out, I'd be like...
Do you think Wayne Gretzky would get traded?
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky got traded because that team would have folded without a trade.
I agree.
Okay, well, that's not happening in Edmonton.
How much more of this can you take?
Well, he signed a contract there. If I'm the owner, I'm not getting rid of him.
Because
if you're the owner that trades Connor McDavid... You're going to be the next Peter Pocklington. Right? Nobody wants to be Peter.
Yeah, it's like you got the two best players in the world and you just got no goalie. It's a tough scene in Edmonton. I mean, the fall from grace has been incredible. I mean, they are the best team in the league on December 5th, I think. They had the best record in the league December 5th. And now I think,
they've won like once since then.
Let me see. In the league now, they are 20th. I mean, they've dropped 19 spots in a month and a half. It's just, I mean, they've lost 3 in a row. I think they've lost 11 of their last 14. I don't really have an answer I do have an answer. Marc-Andre Fleury would be the answer. I don't know how they fit his $7 million into that equation. I mean, Colorado or Chicago would have to retain, and Edmonton would have to give up more to get him as a pure rental because I don't think you'd re-sign in Edmonton. Do you?
Would you re-sign there? There's no way in hell I'd re-sign there.
Like, I don't know, man. But if they got Fleury, Edmonton is a significantly better team.
Does Fleury not have a no move or no trade or no?
He waived it to go to. I don't know. Let me see.
Because there's got.
I don't think he does, Brad.
Is he like the only guy that doesn't in the league, it seems like?
He's got a modified no trade.
Well, Edmonton's not on the list.
Players, I don't, like, no, I think
I he, promise I think you.
He, I think he waived it. Okay, but you go to Edmonton, they give you, and try to get him in the playoffs and go on a cup run. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury ain't getting no cup in Chicago.
Yeah, but he ain't getting a cup in Edmonton either. Have you seen their defense?
Yeah, but, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is a proven guy, a proven winner, and Edmonton don't have many guys like that. So I think he would boost their team incredibly higher.
So how about Mark Giordano?
Going back to your Flames?
Oh, he can't.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know everybody says that because it's the feel-good story. I don't think Calgary would take him back. Like, what does he bring to the team right now? At that price tag.
I'm just trying to think, like, what team could use Giordano?
Vancouver?
Maybe
Edmonton?
Yeah, no. I don't think he'd wait to go there. Let's see. Maybe the Rangers?
Would you waive to go anywhere other than Calgary if you're Giordano?
I don't know. I have no idea. Let's see. You know who? Oh shit! No. Oh.
Pittsburgh.
You know who? Where he could go? Florida Panthers.
They're deep, man.
The rich get richer. I mean, that's the only thing that scares me is their back end.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Lucas Carlson and Olli Juolevi on your third pairing. Yeah. They could definitely upgrade their third pair.
How good is that team, though?
Oh, fuck. It's insane. I mean, and I thought the Canucks played well against Florida.
Well, Calgary's got to play them tomorrow night.
The Canucks just went 0-for-5 on the power play, and Florida went 2-for-3. That's the difference in that game. But, like, I don't know. They're just so high octane. They just take advantage of every opportunity they get.
They just roll you in waves. Like,
the last two games, they scored 15 goals.
I know.
They put up a 9 spot on Dallas, and then they put up the 7 spot on Columbus.
I know.
The team, I have never seen a team that loves scoring goals as much as Florida.
They don't.
And like I said, we talked about it last week. This team is really good. I don't know how. I'm going to be fascinated to see how they play in the playoffs because, like, you can only run and gun for so long.
I know, but are they going to destroy our theory, Blake?
I don't know. I hope they do because I picked Florida to go to the Cup, so hopefully they make me look like geniuses.
God. Well, they're jinx for sure. Because you picked the Devils a few years ago, so what does that tell you? Jacob Chychrun, that's the last guy we're talking about, and we're moving on. But what do you see happening with Jacob Chychrun? And now he's not a UFA. He's a big trade candidate, and that's why I wanted to talk about him.
There was going to be many teams lined up to get Chychrun. He's got 3 years left on his deal at 4.6. He's battled some injuries this year, but, I mean, the guy had 18 goals last year from the back end. I mean, he's just
solid, though. That's the thing.
He's a top two defenseman, and those don't come around very often. So whoever gets him is going to have to pony up pretty big for him.
Who's your leading candidate to get him?
I've been saying he should go to Edmonton for the longest time, but
they can't afford that, though.
I think getting a goalie is a lot more important than getting a defenseman. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Don't know.
Let's quickly touch on the NHL All-Star Game because the selections were this week, and I have an approach of like I could really care less about this game, but a couple of things caught my eye, and I really was shocked. I can't believe it, but.
No Crosby, no.
Like, so Crosby's not in it?
Crosby's not in. He's not even a last man in. It's Jake Guentzel. Yeah, I don't know. I mean.
It's
so full of shit.
Having one player from every team doesn't work.
It's a joke. You heard Nathan McKinnon's comments? Those are bang on.
I wrote it down here. It's silly. I don't think every team should have a. Dude should send a guy. It's an all-star game, not a participation game. You know, we got Clayton Keller in there, who's tied for 75th in scoring. We got Nick Suzuki, who's tied for 159th in scoring. And Nazem Kadri, who has 48 points in 31 games, 14 goals, not in it. What?
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, the All-Star game is such a gimmick now. It's a 3-on-3 tournament and whatnot. You know, I love the days where you had two captains and you played a 5-on-5 game. And
yeah, normal.
Team.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was televised on TSN. It was great. I mean,
it was fun.
You get around with your buddies and like, oh, like who is Ovechkin going to take? Is he going to take Crosby on his team? It's just like there's none of that anymore. I mean, if you want to include one player from every team, I got like a way you can fix this. If you want, say, Nick Suzuki or Trevor Zegras to go there, okay, invite him to a skills competition or make him a part of the All-Star game, something like that. And then you get the best players in the league. You get the 25 best players in the league, and you play the All-Star game where, say you take the top
general managers should pick it.
Take the top 25 scorers in the league and take the four best goalies.
No, you can't do that because you're not getting the best defenseman then.
Oh, no, sorry. Take, let's see here.
General managers. General managers.
Take the 12 best forwards. Hold on. Take the 12 best forwards and take the 8 best D and take the 4 best goalies. It's a 3-on-3 tournament.
Get rid of the 3-on-3 shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. It's a joke. I mean, the NBA All-Star Game's a joke. I mean, the Home Run Derby is kind of a joke.
All of it.
Like, when the MLB had, like, if you won the All-Star Game, you get home field advantage for your league in the playoffs. Like, that actually meant something.
But you can do that. Like, you can do that in baseball, though, because there's no hitting. I mean, physical contact. Physical contact. They play hard in the baseball All-Star Game. But in hockey, they don't. I just don't even have it. Just don't even have it. That's
I wouldn't even be shocked if they canceled the All-Star game.
Oh, they can't. It's too much money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's too much money. All right, moving on. All right, let's go around the league, talk about some odds and ends. And Jordan Staal, no, excuse me, not Jordan Staal, Eric Staal.
Eric Staal.
Eric Staal's been playing for the AHL's Iowa Wild. And this is because there's believed interest for the Olympic team. But I think it's probably more than that, because why do I feel like he's going to get an NHL contract?
If I'm Eric Staal, I ain't signing an NHL contract until after the Olympics. I mean, he's got one more crack to play for his country. I mean, he's almost 40 years old. That's that would be a pretty cool thing for him at the end of his career. Yeah, I think he'll sign an NHL deal, but I think it'll be after the Olympics.
Does anybody care about the Olympics this year? In the States right now, nobody is talking about the Olympics at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I you know, Team USA hockey team's gonna be fun to watch. I mean, they got a lot of young talent, and it kind of reminds me of like the 1980. I mean, you took all those kids, and you won a gold medal, and maybe those kids can replicate and do the same. I don't know. They haven't.
No, you're not playing against the Russian army, so how will you ever replicate
that? No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like it's just a bunch of kids on that team, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, Bowen Byram, he has taken a leave. The 20-year-old sounds like his career could be in jeopardy because of concussions. And I don't know, maybe I'm in the dark. I was unaware that he was having concussion issues. But when I read this, I just thought, man, is this just unfair?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you sign up for when you play the game of hockey. I mean,
absolutely.
Consequences like that could happen. I mean, you know what you signed up for, and yeah, it's super unfortunate that Byram's going through this. I mean, you saw Crosby go through it for a few years, and then he's able to get his career back on track. But, yeah, I mean, concussions are very serious and can really affect your brain. So, I mean, for him at 20 years old to step away from the game he loves for personal reasons and to get himself healthy, it takes a lot of maturity for a kid like that to do that. And, yeah, hopefully he gets ready soon because he's a dynamic defenseman to watch out there.
Is he ever?
He just buzzes around. So, yeah, hopefully he gets back soon.
The Evander Kane saga continues. It seems like we talk about this on a weekly basis.
Well, he's your favorite player, so of course.
I love him. Reportedly now, he was going to be signed by the Edmonton Oilers, which I would have had to say, Blake, you called that because you said that last episode, and I didn't want to. So thank goodness that he's got more shit to deal with, so now I don't have to like say Blake was right.
Well, he
is
going to sign with the Oilers, so you can just say them right still.
Okay, but now he's being investigated by the league for not following COVID protocols. And to make things worse, it's reported the Canadian government now is looking at charges for entering the country with COVID. I don't know how that would ever
fall. I listened to the 32 Thoughts podcast, and basically what Elliot Freeman explained is like that he's a Canadian citizen. So if you're allowed to enter the country 14 days after a positive test or a negative COVID test. Like, I think that's what he said. So, I mean, who knows when he tested positive, if it was in that 14-day range, and then he's probably clear to go. But
I thought it was 8 days.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the days. I'm just saying like what I heard on the podcast. But, yeah, I mean, and the fact that he's a Canadian resident, I think that he has to be allowed in the country. But, like, I don't know how it works. I mean, Canadian government's kind of a joke, so we'll see how long that takes to handle. But, I mean, Evander Kane might not sign the rest of the year the way this government's
going. Well, he could be suspended for 20-plus games also.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I don't know all the pieces to the puzzle, so it's kind of hard.
It's a complicated one.
It's kind of hard for me to comment on, but, I mean, yeah, I do think he's still going to go to the Oilers. I don't know. It's just a weird situation.
Okay, let's roll on. We got two more things to talk about before we get to three questions. We could have spent a whole bunch of time on this, but last week you made me talk about the Canucks, and so this week I put it in there just because I wanted to see if your barometer has went down or up. Is this team still possible to go to the playoffs? And hell, are the Flames even possible to miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk with the Canucks first. Like I said, you win tomorrow. You salvage a trip that had an ugly start to it. This team's been on the road for 9 straight games, Brad. I mean, that's not easy.
So is every Canadian team.
Not really. I mean, they've still played some home games, but okay. I mean, yeah, 9 games straight on the road. They've played in California. They've played in Florida. Like, they've been all over the place. They're running into COVID issues right now a little bit again. Every team is, and I'm making excuses, but, yeah, I mean, it was really nice to see Pettersson get a couple goals. I mean, the guy has just been invisible. I mean, it's embarrassing. But, yeah, it's nice to see him make a couple confident plays. Haven't really seen that from him as of late. Demko has been playing really well. Yeah, maybe a couple goals that he would want back against Florida. But, yeah, this trip's been a gauntlet. I mean, like I said, you win tomorrow in Nashville, you salvage the trip. You go back home for some games and you see if you can claw back into this race. I mean, you take a look at the wild card. I mean, yeah, they got a lot of teams to jump. I mean, they're 1 point behind Dallas, 1 point behind Edmonton, 2 points behind Winnipeg, and they're only 3 points behind Calgary. I mean,
yeah, but Calgary's played 5 games less than them, though, too.
Yeah, that's true. They do 4 games now. Yeah. Yeah,
4.
So, yeah, right now they're... Let's see, San Jose won today.
And Calgary's only played, like, they're playing a game a week for the last month.
37. So, yeah, they are 7 points out of a playoff spot, and San Jose's got 2 games in hand. So, yeah, it's definitely an uphill battle, but, I mean, who knows? You get home, maybe you get on a roll again and see what happens. But they're getting good goaltending. The team goes and Elias Pettersson goes, right? And I've been saying this for the longest
time. That's kind of scary.
And JT Miller has stepped up in Pettersson's struggles, and he's kind of driving the bus right now. So if Pettersson could kind of ride shotgun to him, they moved him to the wing, which is very interesting that Bruce Boudreau kind of – the last 3 games he's played in the wing of Bo Horvat, and that line's been really good. I mean, Pettersson seems that he's getting more offensive zone starts on the wing, and he doesn't really have to worry about I'm not saying that either, like he's
well, they can't give him offensive zone starts when he's at center because he's not strong enough.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying he's defensively irresponsible, but it's a lot easier to be a winger in the National Hockey League than it is being a center.
For sure.
And you got less responsibilities. You can just go out there and play your game, and hopefully those two goals against Washington gave him some confidence.
Does it bother you that your coach is having to protect a player you just gave all that money?
Protect?
He's moving him to the wing because he can't handle center.
No, it's not that he can handle center. Brugeois is just trying to push some buttons to unlock this kid's offense. I mean, he's tried him on the power play. He's tried him net front. He's tried him on the wing. He's tried him at center. He's just trying to see what different options that he has. I mean, we'll see. Like, who knows? The Canucks could lose tomorrow, and Jimmy Rutherford gets on the phone, and there's a fire sale. Like, Brock Besser could be traded next week. I don't know. I don't know what Jim Rutherford's thinking.
It's going to be either way, isn't it?
But I mean, as a Canucks fan, I hope you don't have any favorites because, I mean, there's literally no loyalty to Jim Rutherford. I mean, it's a clean slate. He's going to come in. He's going to get his fingerprints all over this team. And you got to build from the back end up. Okay, so you got Demko under contract for 4 more years after this. Okay, so your goaltending is set for a long time. Okay, now you got Quinn Hughes. You got Oliver Ekman-Larsson locked in on the left side. You need to rebuild your right side defense. So, I mean, a John Klingberg would be amazing.
Can't afford him.
He wants
$7+ million next year. Can't afford that.
$6.5-7 million. I mean, like I said, you're going to have to trade a Brock Besser.
Yeah, but then you have no money for up front anymore.
You trade up. Yeah, I mean, up front, I mean, they're pretty locked in up front. I mean, I could see them
They're not playing very well, though, then.
No, they're not playing well. I mean, well, they're playing well as of late, other than the 3 losses in Florida. But, I mean, I think they won 10 of their last 13, 14 games.
No, I know.
It's been a pretty good stretch as of late. Obviously, they got a little humbled on the first 3 games of the road trip. As Bruce Brugeois said, brought us down to earth a little bit. But, I don't know. The Canucks could go in many different directions here. I would not trade a guy like Tyler Motte. I mean, he's a high, he's sought after right now to Frank Cervelli, but like a guy like that, high motor guy, physical bottom six, like I think the Canucks should extend a guy like that. I don't know, but first things first, you got to rebuild the back end, and I think they got to trade a forward to do that. So yeah. We'll see.
No, you're probably right there. Teams, I feel like there's a few teams that are trying to suck right now, and I don't understand this. I mean, Arizona and Montreal, it physically looks like they're trying to not win. Arizona is, their goal differential is minus 61, and Montreal's goal differential is minus 55.
Yeah.
Whoa. Do you realize, listen to this, fact that I saw on Twitter. The Canadians have scored 76 goals in 36 games this year. The Islanders have scored 67 goals in 30 games this year. And the Panthers have scored 50 in their last 8 games.
I know. It's fucking insane.
When I saw that, I was just like, if you're a Lou Lamoriello.
They scored the most goals in the league.
It's unfathomable that stat can be that glaring.
I know. It's insane. It's absolutely insane what they're doing. 26-7-5. They got 158 goals. Colorado's got 156.
I know.
The next closest is 138. Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, this team is rolling.
They chip away, man. That team is a good hockey team. Blake, are you ready for 3 questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right, time for Blake and I's favorite portion of the show. 3 questions, and Blake actually has three questions this week.
Shit, I forgot the questions.
God, would that surprise any of the listeners? They're all like, oh, typical week for the debate.
What team needs to trade for Klingberg the most, and who would you rather have, Klingberg or Jacob Chychrun?
I'd rather have Jacob Chychrun. And that's no knock on Klingberg because I like him too. I feel like, and I am just pulling out of my ass on this one, I feel like Jacob Chychrun goes to Anaheim. Because Anaheim has the most assets to give.
Anaheim already has a pretty good decor, though.
You're building for the future, boys. And I'm telling you what, this Anaheim team is going to be for real in the next few years.
That's fair. I mean, they got a lot of good young
prospects. Makes all the sense in the world. I feel like they could offer the most, and I feel like it would be a great home for Chychrun, and it would build that back end, and that's exactly what Anaheim needs. And I, for some gut feeling, goes that Klingbeil ends up in Pittsburgh.
Klingbeil? Pardon me?
Klingbeil.
Clip that
Klingberg.
My God. Klingbeil?
I don't even know where I got that.
Jesus Christ. With Chris Pronger's jersey retirement today, do you have a favorite Chris Pronger moment?
I hated Chris Pronger as a player. I think he's a decent guy. For some reason, the Edmonton Stanley Cup run sticks in my head the most. And not because I hate the Oilers, but just how dominating of a force he was.
That's exactly what I was going to say. His penalty shot, I think it was game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals where he went and scored 5-hole. I mean, that's a moment that sticks out for me. Also, just how dominant he was the year after in Anaheim and they won the Cup in 07.
Yeah. I mean,
he was just a dominating force. Just like him and Scott Niedermeyer back there just
he
causing
havoc.
He was
such an asshole on the ice. But
oh, I know, but you'd love to have him on your team.
Oh, my God, I would love to have him. And I have a huge amount of respect for him.
Yeah. Okay. If you started a franchise in the NHL,
yes.
Okay, and you could pick one player in the whole league, doesn't matter the age,
yeah,
doesn't matter position, who are you taking?
Patterson. Oh, God. Like,
jokes.
Oh, it's you know what? I hate to say it. It's not even difficult for me anymore. I think I'd take Cale Makar.
I would too. I mean,
I
would take Cale Makar or Andre Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
That would probably be my, like.
The only reason I wouldn't take a goalie is I feel like goalies are 3-year waves.
Let me see here. I just want to check something here.
I just feel like their goalies are a little bit more 3-year waves. I don't know.
I need to check something here. Hold on.
What are you checking, Blake?
Hold on.
I know, but what are you checking?
I'm trying to see something here.
People listening to the podcast don't want to. Blake's trying to.
Cale Makar.
Yeah.
Let me count here.
He scores every night. He's got points all the time. And the guy is a rock solid on the back end, too.
Cale Makar is 10th in goals.
I know.
With 18. Sorry, 16. Oh, my God. Like,
I saw a stat. I don't have it in front of me right now. But he was like, he's got more points than a lot of teams' whole defenses have.
Oh, I know. It's insane. Can we do a question like 3B?
Sure, you got one. Fire away.
Are you finally on the Ovechkin breaking Gretzky's goal record?
Not yet. Give me a little bit more time.
Really?
Yeah, we'll
talk. 26 goals.
I know, Blake. He's amazing. Let's talk. Let me talk to you a year from today on that, okay?
Man. This guy is 37 years old.
But
he's about to score 50 goals.
Okay, I know. But, like, as players explode, like Makar has, you know, in the recent years, players drop off quickly, too.
Okay, but he ain't showing no signs of slowing down.
No, he's not. No, he's
not. He is still blowing pucks past.
Me. I will give you that, but just talk to me a year from now, okay? Pencil. You don't have a daily
plan. Okay, I'll put that in pen.
Okay. You'll lose that by tomorrow.
January 17, 2023.
All right. Listener question, are you ready? Jamie Hagan, Mississauga. When is the best? Okay, let's say here's the question. You're an NHL coach.
Yeah.
What time in the game is the best time to pull your goalie if you're down by one? And then part two of the question is, if you're down by two, when do you pull your goalie?
Okay, if I'm down by two I have possession, probably 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes.
Okay.
If you're down by 1 minute and a half, you got possession, minute and a half probably.
Yeah.
And maybe the reason maybe 2 minutes if mm-hmm. you got your top guys out there. You like say you got Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Hedman all out there, maybe 2 minutes.
I'm like 2 minutes and I'm like 3.5 minutes. I'm a little ballsy because you really got nothing to lose.
Like honestly, like if I had a power play and I'm down by two, I might even pull a goal with like 5 minutes left.
Situational,
if you got a power play.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Like if I'm down like 5-3 and I got a power play, I'm pulling my goalie.
I'm with you.
And going 6-on-4.
It's all right to have a little bit of balls, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, fuck, Patrick Wall pulls a goalie 10 fucking minutes left and they scored.
I know.
Like, I mean, everybody's different. Every coach is different. Everybody's got different theories, but yeah. Probably 2.5 minutes, minute and a half, somewhere around there.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All right, Blake. Good visiting hockey with you this week. Another show.
Oh, we got to talk for 5 more minutes.
No, we don't. God.
107.
I know. We're almost. By the time we get out of here, it'll be 107, man. All right. Another show in the books. Thanks for joining us. Check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe to the Debate Hockey Podcast. Thank you to all the subscribers out there. I'm going to leave you with a thought. My favorite player had a tweet this week. Did you see this, Blake? Theo Fleury tweeted this week. Just something we should all maybe think about this week. It said, can you tell me the difference between Don Cherry's "you people" statement and Justin Trudeau's "these people"? One doesn't have a job anymore, and the others are prime minister. Interesting. All right, hockey fans, enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week. More hockey talk. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.